Good evening, everybody. This is Christopher Buck and
Leanne Elise.
And we're here with Humanity Healing Online University. Tonight we're going to be starting the self-mastery program, and we're going to start it with the internal observer.
Yes, we're talking about the internal observer, and the internal observer, it's an essential part of the understanding and also the, I would say, the complementary situation when you start in the self-mastery program. We have an e-book available in the university called the Self-Mastery Program on Attitudinal Tools, which basically was created to you to analyze more how to act instead of just react. It's a guide that analyzes, you know, the nature of every single one of our reactions and every single one of our attitudes. When you have this outlook, you are able to look inside and see on yourself what needs to be corrected, what needs to be redirected, what needs to be developed. We may continue or even start again the attitudinal tools weekly as we did during 2008. And we start this program as a course and debate every week pretty soon on the university. But going back, the internal observer is a vital element of this process of self-mastery. And why? Because the internal observer is the installation of a self-consciousness inside of yourself. It's not another one of the ego's traps. It's not an instrument to be a self-righteous. The internal observer is a process, is a conscious process of installation of one element that will allow you to not only analyze what's going outside on your reality, but also putting yourself as an active element interacting with your environment. Basically, this comes from the concept that everything that is outside of you is a manifestation of what is going inside of you. So we live in a chaotic world, interacting with other people that in itself they're, you know, little universes, and sometimes our worlds clash, and we don't know why something happened to us, and because we don't have what you say the level of consciousness or the level of mindfulness to analyze or even to identify a disaster before it happens. Anyways, the definition of, you know, of self-observer is a self-consciousness principle that one can install in order to facilitate not only your interaction with the outside, but interaction with inside, being more towards, you know, the path of self-knowledge. Knowing that yourself is a vital step for anyone that pursues the path of spirituality. In every single school of knowledge or wisdom, and every single religious path, or even being an atheist, you know, the funny thing, even the atheists, they tend to have more of a self-conscious principle because they need something inside of themselves to explain, you know, to regulate chaos once that they don't believe in God and, you know, an outside principle that from everything emanates. So they tend to have a more organized concept of world and how to, you know, interact with this world. So, again, the internal observer is actually an instrument of self-consciousness, is a principle of self-consciousness, but is also, through this principle, you will develop some ethical and moral principles that you will see that adapt more to your lifestyle, more to your line of thought, and more how you feel and interact with others. They're not necessarily the same code of ethics or the same code of morals that common society out there has it. Those are very personal and belongs to you. For instance, I'm going to give you one of my personal, you know, thing. I myself, since I was small, I never ate lamb. I never ate lamb because I thought that, not that I feel nice eating cows or anything else, or, you know, I really don't. But lambs, they always have, lambs and rabbits, they were just beautiful. So everybody, you know, in Brazil, we always had those big barbecues, and people invite you, and it's like, oh, we have lamb. It's like, okay, I don't do lamb. Why? Well, you know, I don't, it's against my religion. I always tell them, you know, it's against my religion. I don't do cute. But then I understood that this rule goes for me, you know, like analyzing myself, so you don't do this with lamb, but why you accept eating cow or why you accept eating chicken? And I got to a point that I tell myself, I don't want to eat anything with eyes. But those are my internal concepts. You know, this is the code of ethics, the code of morals. I will never try to impose those codes to anybody else. But at the same token, you know, you could have something else. Like, I really don't eat broccoli because broccoli looks like, I don't know, mushrooms from hell. And this is my code of moral. So, you know, that's fine. But I'm just giving a very, very simple, crazy example. But what I want to try to say is that when you install your observer, the code that you will abide is something that will come from inside. It's not necessarily something that you're going to get a book and say, okay, I need some code of morals, I'm going to buy one book. Code of morals for dummy. No. So, okay, you
understand. The question I've got is some of the people that have asked us about the internal observer have said, well, isn't that the same thing as just listening to your higher self or listening to your soul? But it's not really, the internal observer is not really the same thing, is it?
No. The internal observer is, I would say, it's the connection between those two worlds inside of yourself. The internal observer comes from three aspects of reality, of the understanding of three aspects of your common reality, immediate reality as a person. You know, you are a person, all right, with a physical body. Now, can you say you are your physical body? No. You cannot say you are your physical body completely. Why? It's part of you, but you don't extinguish yourself in just being a physical body, because you have aspirations, you have emotions, you have thoughts, you have you have a dream life, you have a spiritual purpose. So what you are cannot be, only confined in a physical body. So when you realize you're not only a physical body, this is one realization. The second realization is you are not your emotions only. Why? Okay, if I'm not my emotions, who is it? Yeah, your emotions or your emotional body or your astral body is part of you, but it's not all of you. Because sometimes you have emotions that you are ashamed of. You know, you get jealous of somebody and say, oh my God, I shouldn't be jealous, you know. Or this person, or jealous of somebody or mad at somebody, say, I really have no reason to be mad at this person. Thinking rationally, you don't have the reasoning, you don't have the right, but you're still mad. So, but this is one of the manifestations of your emotional body. So your emotional body, it's not you. I mean, again, it doesn't confine all that you are, but it's part of you. You may like it or not like it, but it's part of you. Sometimes you continue loving somebody that hates your guts and mistreats you, and you tell yourself every day, I have to stop loving this person, or I have to stop, you know, caring about this so much. but you still care. So your emotions sometimes, they have their own mind and they go their own way. And so you realize that you are not only, you know, an element or a projection of your astral body. So this is the second reality. Now the third reality are your thoughts. Your thoughts are you? Yes, they are. Are you only your thoughts? No. So you have this element again. You're not only your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. Because, again, you are...
Your thoughts are an extension of you.
It's an extension of you. But you are sometimes, you know, like whoever never had the experience. Okay, I'm calm. I'm going to go to sleep. And then you close your eyes and you're tired as heck. And then you go to bed and your mind starts shattering. I have to do this tomorrow. Oh, my God, I should, you know. Oh, my, Jesus, I should have put those clothes to wash. You know, I haven't been vacuuming the living room for weeks. I have to stop this. Oh, my God, I have to clean the shower. I have to call the electrician, such and such, or what I'm going to say to such and such tomorrow. You have no control. So sometimes you don't have control of your thoughts. Do you? Are you your thoughts? You are. Your thoughts are part of you. You are not necessarily your thoughts. So you, when you realize you have three realities living in you now, there are projections of who you are, who is the element that could put order on all three of those, I would say, wild horses. Put order on this and bring all this energy that get dispersed by confused thoughts, you know, running away emotions and all the physical needs that you have, only the internal observer. So there is an element that you can volunteer by the action of your will and intention. You can install the internal observer and control all this universe that is yourself. So we, what you do is you bring the attention that's outside and you stop vibrating just like a, you know, a sun or a crazy planet, and you start ordering your actions. You decide that you will be the master of yourself. Therefore, you need to be a master of yourself. You need to control your thoughts. You need to control your emotions. You need to control your body. Minimally, because this is the Trinity, the lower Trinity. You need to know how to control this. This is a vital element. Now, you ask me, okay, how we control those elements on yourself? You control those elements on yourself with an increase, and there are exercises for that, an increase of mindfulness, an increase of self-control, an increase of, well, I would say, a work towards decreasing less attentiveness on things. I know everybody does that, especially we, the women. We tend to multitask. So it's easy for you to talk on the phone, you know, cook, feed the children, open the refrigerator, and feed, you know, put water for the dog, and do 10,000 things at the same time. But when you do that, you actually are minimizing the attention on each one of those tasks in order to have it done. That's really nice, but basically, human beings, even though we are multidimensional beings, we were not made to multitask.
Well, I know I was, and I can only multitask by focusing on one thing at a time.
But we were not really made to multitask. And I tell you why. Because to multitask, can you imagine? Let's make the other way around. Let's take a look in the multitasking. Okay? Let's say that you are God. You know, you are God now. And you enter in the process of creation. So you have to create the planet. You have to create, you know, those in order. Okay, you have to create planets. You have to create source of to sustain this planet. You create the vegetation. You create the rivers. You create this and this. Let's imagine that God, instead of concentrating like he did, you know, to the, from the Bible, you see that. Like he even ordained this on days. He first separated heaven from earth. That was one day. It took a long time. Now,
oh, it's a big job.
Yeah, big job. Let's say that that God was a woman, and he decided to create the world instead of 7 days because it's too long, you know, and by the end of the week he has a hairdo appointment. So he decided to do everything in one day. Can you imagine? This is just a metaphor in an allegoric situation. Can you imagine if you just decide to do the planet, you know, but it's not really perfect, but I'll fix it later. All right, let's put the people, okay, we don't have people to be all the same size as life. Well, that's okay. Get the midgets and the giants there, and somewhere, you know, along the line, the next week, I will put middle people there. Okay, let's just put one type of animal because, I don't have time to keep projecting this. I have to finish this in one day. If you imagine that creation will just give 10% or less than 10% or anything in the universe or any being on the universe give less than 10% to any task, if an angel would think you are in despair, you send out the prayer and say, I need divine intervention now. But the angel you send was on the phone. And he will answer you, but he actually will give you just 5% of his attention. If all the universe only worked in less than 5%, it wouldn't exist. Because one thing is that continues with the process of creation. It's not perfection in itself. It will perfect itself. The goal will be perfected. But what really makes the universe go is the full attention and mindfulness, commitment, persistence of every single being involved on making this universe expand and develop. There's a poetry that I read a long time ago from a Brazilian poet. I will try to find it and even translate this in English, but it goes more or less like this. He's talking about a morning, a dawn of the morning, that his vision of a dawn of the morning was a multitude of angels that singing to God. They created weaving cords, you know, that goes in and out. One angel sings from the east, another angel sings from the west, and they all weave this golden net that brings the sun up. And according to, you know, Ageless Wisdom, basically Blavatsky tells explicitly that if we realize how many beings are involved in a simple action of the sun downing every day, we will be surprised how creation is integrated and is an action of cooperative, dedicated beings to, you know, towards a greater good. So that's the reason I tell you. It's not that it's a bad thing. You know, we need sometimes to really multitask. But as the universal beings, we were not created with the intention of multitasking. I think that multitasking is a distortion of our civilization. You know, and that's what happens when you want to run, you know, everything and do everything, wash the dishes, you know, get dinner to the kids so you can see survival on TV. So, but, you know, I understand that. I'm not saying I'm agreeing that's bad. I'm just saying that in one point or another in your life, you would like to bring those elements under the control of your will. And to have this, you have to have a code of ethics. You have to have a code of morals, and you have to have, really a clear intention and a clear realization that you are more than your body, you are more than your emotional body, and you are more than just a collection of thoughts. So, if anybody have an action, ask questions.
Yeah, one of the things that we're, or how we're doing the format with this is we're expecting that most of the people have read the Internal Observer over in the website. And what we want tonight's session to be is you know, we'll answer questions and give a brief explanation of what the Internal Observer is. But we really want to dialogue with you as far as, you know, how to, not only your personal experiences, but your questions on how to integrate the Internal Observer into your own life. And as Liani said, it's a collection of things. It's mindfulness. It's
basically you get what is and why is the need of the Internal Observer, actually asking negative questions like, what am I am not? I am not my physical body alone. I'm not this. I'm not that. So what I am a consciousness that needs to organize this chaotic universe that I co-create. So anyhow, let's continue with our process. Why we need an Internal Observer. The Internal Observer comes from the reality when you actually meditating or observing your chakras, you see that you you have the base chakra, which is your tribe where you go and you're anchoring in life and you're balancing in basic, you know, the basic needs that you have in your physical body comes from the first and second chakra. The third chakra comes with the need to affirm yourself or who you are in your world. But the Internal Observer just can be installed when you move from the three lower chakras in the direction of a higher perspective or a higher commitment in how to live your life. When you start living your life from your heart, then we can talk. And all the courses in every single seminar, in every single attunement we have been proceeding here on the university, they're all mostly directed to develop your heart center, the chambers of your heart, your higher heart, and ultimately your sacred heart. Why? Because only from the heart you can reverse every single lower tendency, and only from your heart you can actually release yourself from all the elements that bond you in third dimension. And I say always look for things that will feed your heart, in you know, to your heart chakra, your higher emotions, not the low emotions. It's not jealousy, such and such, or fear. It higher emotions, your aspiration, your need of joy, the happiness, fulfillment, all the goodness and kindness, living from your heart, the higher emotions, and your creativity in the throat chakra, your perspective, the amplification of your perspective and actions with your third eye chakra, and basically the seventh chakra, which is your connection directly with the divine. So living your heart from when you reach the point of you starting living, or you have the commitment to start living through your heart, it will be much easier to install Internal Observer. It's easy? Nah, there's nothing easy in the spiritual path. There will be nasty things, and yes, it will, because I'm telling you, when you start trying to control your thoughts, you're going to have problems because your thoughts don't like to be controlled. The thoughts come from the mind, the lower mind, and the lower mind is controlled by your ego. Who are you to tell me why you control me? No, you don't. I do whatever I want, you know. But it's there will be difficulties. Yes, it will. It's possible. Yes, definitely. And it's desirable. Not only possible, but desirable. One of the things you do is to start nurturing those higher centers. It should be your priority to nurture your higher centers. Okay, don't you need, and some people that practice you know, Tantra Kundalini, may disagree with me on this aspect specifically, because they think, and we do believe that too, we do believe that we are an entire system, the chakras are an entire system, and but they believe that to develop the higher centers, you have to develop the lower centers more. I say that's not necessarily so. You may have to develop the way you support the energy when you really start bringing down the cosmic energy inside of the three higher centers. You will need good knees. You're going to need good good legs. You're going to need to anchor, center, and ground more, yes. But to only give more nourishment to the three lower chakras is not necessarily a need, because we already do this every day. We feed ourselves every day. We sleep every day. We tend for the needs of the body. You need a bath? Good. You go there and take it. You need to eat? You go and eat. You feel hungry? You feel thirsty? You drink. So those are basic needs. And those are basic requirements of your three lower chakras to keep yourself alive. So you already do this. So what is that you're doing for your three higher chakras? What are you doing for your creativity? What are you doing for your connection with God? What are you doing for your connection with your higher intentions? What are your plans for yourself? So when you understand that in order to integrate the self-observer, you need to develop the three higher centers, you know, because you're already taking good care of yourself. But to develop this, then you really need to have some kind of control. You know, then you need, like, I do not need to eat like a pig when I get Thanksgiving. I'm telling you this because I have to tell myself. So Thanksgiving is not necessary that I have to eat like a boa constrictor, you know, because everybody does.
Of course, at the Thanksgiving table, you can really see your internal observer working overtime.
I know. But anyhow, this is the basic concept. When you work with your chakras, you should first step to install internal observer is to nourish the three higher centers. How do you nourish your expectations? Okay, I'm going to give you, quick and dirty tips in how to do that. Of course, you have more creativity than I do, and you can find many other ways to cultivate and bring this element back in your life and start in the process to installing your own self-consciousness principle. Okay, let's talk about how I will
nourish. How you'll nourish.
Yes, I'm sorry, my accent is horrible. How you nourish your heart. You nourish your heart for what your first question should be, what makes me happy? So you get a little notebook and put, what makes me happy? Don't mind if you say things that just a child of 7 years old would say. Okay, sunshine, jumping in bottles of water, baby puppy breath, baby kisses. They make you happy. Good. Those are things that make you smile. You know, those pictures that you look in somewhere and you see and you can't help but smile. Not saying laugh, but smile, because transmit the tenderness. Those are the things that feed you. So in this little notebook, or it could be an imaginary one, make a collage. You can do this in an album of pictures. You make a collage of things that really makes you happy. Those are your blessings, the blessings that you have every day. They're just there to be looked at. Those are things that bring fulfillment. Start with that. Then you go to another aspect. Okay, those things bring me happiness. And you see, when you do this process, when you go and really know what makes you happy and what you need to be happy, what you need to feel, you know, integrated with the grace of God and integrated with the love of God or the love of what is around you, you will notice that you really don't need much to be happy. But do this collage. Second thing. Make a letter to yourself. And I'm serious. Actually, I'm going to ask you to make three letters for yourself. One letter, I want you to put, if you guys want to take note of it, one letter I want you to put for, you're going to write a letter to yourself, for your future self. I want you to write this letter and be very lovely, lovely, supportive, but you're going to speak on the bath dance like this. Okay, I'm writing a letter to me for 1 month. I want to write a letter for myself to 3 months. And I'm going to write a letter to myself in 6 months. My first letter in 1 month. So I'm going to say, Leonie, you know, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation now. And you finally got your drawer organized. I'm so proud of you. You took all those dirty socks and you finally put them to bleach. You know, things that you need encouragement with. And you're going to say, I'm glad that you got that job that you wanted. I'm glad that you, you know, found the document that you're still missing. I'm glad whatever you want and you think you can accomplish now in 1 month. When you do that, avoid words no, never, if. Nothing. You cannot use no, never, or if in the letters that you write to yourself. You don't say, if this happened, they'll say, when this happens, I want to see you this such and such. I'm glad that you finally start putting some money aside for that trip to Egypt. Or, you know, you stop smoking.
It's all about the intention.
Intention. But you do three letters. One for yourself in 1 month, another one for yourself in 3 months, and another one for yourself in 6 months. Done that, you close it in an envelope, close it, seal it, and put it somewhere.
With the date.
With the date. Only to be open. So, like, today is the 18th of January. The first one will be open in 18th of February. The second one will be open in 6 months from now. So, it's Gemini? Cancer is Gemini, yeah. June.
I think July.
July. 18th of July. The other one, no, 3 months. So, will be on May. May. April?
March, April.
April. And the other one in July. So you have those, and those are necessary. And if you're going to see the evolution of, and don't forget to be loving, please don't, because you're talking to yourself. And, you know, one thing that we don't want is, it's, you know,
negative self-reinforcement
or negative thoughts to be projecting your future. We don't want game of guilt, of blame, nothing. You know, at least that's a minimum thing you can do for yourself. So you done that, you will see. Don't open the other letters after you open the first one. You will be surprised how many things you can accomplish when you just talk completely and openly with yourself. And the reason I'm telling you to write it down, because when you write down, you're also writing in your consciousness that those are like commands. When you use a loving voice, an internal loving voice, to contact yourself, you will experience miracles. And this is the first step. So you see how the internal observer is already there. It just needs to be connected with your, you know, internal intention, with your higher will, and with your higher emotions in order to function and bring all, you know, the chaos around to an order and to an understanding. On this point, it's like the zero point. You bring everything to the now. There's no past, present, or future. Everything is living in the now. When you have control over those elements, you are the center of your own universe. As above, so below. You bring everything to the now. You create a zero point inside of yourself where you can actually project anything in any single direction. So this is something that it's the second element that I would say to fulfill your heart and fulfill a higher purpose. You can do that in other ways. You can meditate and you can ask your guardian angels. You can ask your soul to give you visions. What is that? If your soul is the connection, maximum connection with the divinity, with God, you can ask God, what is your dream for me? Because one day, and, you know, on the date of creation that you were made out of pure love, of course, we end up in this planet, but, you know, forget that we end up in this planet. Just think about that we are pure love, and we came from this immense source of light and indiscriminated light and goodness. You came because he or them, however you consider
God,
the Godhead and all his helpers that reflect his light to expand the universe. When they created you, when he created you, he dreamed something special for you. So you can stop and ask, what is the dream you dreamed for me? Tell me. When you feel that, you're going to feel a different and a complete renewal of perspective in the way you see your life. So those are just three suggestions on how to feed your heart center and start from there. We can go forever here.
We always can. There's a lot of material, and to be honest, we have a lot of fun discussing it with you all. But that in a nutshell is the internal observer and how we get there. But what we'd like to do now is to speak with you, answer questions, get insights from what you've experienced as you've worked on this, if you have, or what questions you may have as you're getting ready to start doing this. So let's open the floor up to questions. Are there any questions?
Unmute yourself first.
Is there anybody out there?
Well, I'm out here, so I have actually a thought, and this is Dzengo.
Hi, Dzengo.
Hello. You know, I think one of the things that I've been working on, and again, I learned a lot of what I'm doing on my own when I'm connecting with you, with the network, with the community. So it's amazing. I love it. But one of the things that's been really helping me is that when something comes up, and I can feel, okay, like this was said back in the very beginning, I feel a response wanting to manifest itself. When I can actually focus my intent quickly on just my breathing, and I can take myself to my breathing. And of course, you know, yoga very, very much emphasizes, and I know we are too, you know, in our in your books, in your ebooks, a lot has been brought up on, you know, different types of breathing. But I think that really and truly, part of that control, the easiest way to get to me from, you know, point A to point B is to know these things are going to happen. Every single day something's going to happen. I'm going to stub my toe, I'm going to say something, I'm going to look at her and go, what? Or, you know, my son may say, whatever, the person at Walmart, you know, on and on and on. It's going to happen. But when it does happen, if you already know, when you take that moment, you slowed yourself down inside, you can process it, you don't have to respond to it, you know. And I think that it may deserve a response. You know, you may want to go back and file a complaint if someone, you know, if something is, do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, that makes sense? Sometimes it does require a response, but a better response generally is made when you can take that extra second to think about it.
Yes.
So that was my thought on that. I was like, I think breathing plays a very important role in that. And just being aware that you have the ability to control it, you know, that
now,
you can...
Now, why do you think that breathing is important?
Well, I think because breathing absolutely takes you to your very most elemental state of being, you know, and again, this is just my thought.
You know why? Because when you breathe in, when you get, you know, hit by some emotion or some situation from outside, you automatically burn energy to face that. And this burned energy goes to your bloodstream. If you don't breathe correctly, because when you breathe in, again, you know, fresh breath.
Oxygen, right, good stuff.
And you take that poison on your, you know, circulatory system to be eliminated immediately. Sometimes it's so much poison because you had such a discharge of emotional energy on your bloodstream that it can go to the aura. And, you know, it's like some people that you look at and you feel like they have a little gray cloud on top of them.
Yeah, there's lightning and thunder.
Yeah, because they are not oxygenating enough. They're not receiving enough prana, you know, and it's still circulating. By itself can take up to 5 days to get out of your system if you don't breathe correctly.
Well, see, I love being able, you're explaining it, right? And I have like all the yoga books in the world, but honestly, the sense of it is half the stuff I don't even feel like reading because I feel like if you do it and it works, sometimes I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm on to the next thing, but it's really good to know why it does what it does.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the reason you say, like, count to 10 before you do it. There's a reason. Because you need at least 10 seconds for your blood. When you breathe deeply, you need 10 seconds for all the blood to go around your body. So when people say count to 10 before you make anything, it's actually because it needs at least 10 seconds to oxygenate so your body can say, okay, I can take it. I will do something. Because there are some situations that stun you. And you cannot think. Somebody that's very aggressive, you cannot have a reaction.
Oh, and I'll tell you something else I've been working with, too, and I think I told you this before. It goes along with it. But, you know, if you're perceptive to what is about to manifest, I was actually able to prepare myself for one event. And it was a very hard event, but you know, for me emotionally, I wasn't quite ready. But you know, you're as ready as you think you are. You know, you deal with it as you go. But
yes,
but I had the sense to know something was about to happen, so I was practicing EFT. And as a matter of fact, it was right when I got involved with Humanity Healing way back then. Okay. Do you remember when I was first, like, following you guys around, going, hello, okay, well, it was way back then, and I had listened to someone the day before, day of, or through you, that had talked about EFT. I didn't even want to be up that night. I was like, I got to go to bed. Something said, you know, go listen. I go listen. Okay. So that morning, I had practiced this technique. I had been like, tap, you know, breathe. And then this event happened, and I would have literally been floored. It was one of the, for me, you know.
Yes.
It was dealing with my child, and those kind of things were very personal. So, but I was prepared, and all, you know, I guess the oxygen, the toxins, I guess, you know, my body had a surplus of good, because when it happened, I was able to function and think very quickly. Given, you know, sometimes you do have to respond right then. You don't have time to think.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, I don't want to hog up the line here. If there's somebody else here, you know, please, I'll shut up and they can jump in.
Are there any other questions?
I don't think there's any more anybody here.
I don't think there's any other questions that we're going to have tonight. In that case, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and wrap this this teleconference up for the evening.
All right, so let's continue with the second part of the progressing and how to feed your lower centers. The higher centers. The higher centers. So we did give three tips for the how to feed your heart. Now, let's think about what the other things are. The third eye center, your third eye center is a center where you should, you know, where the third eye was before, and it shrank, is your connection with not only the reality you see as 3D, but all the weavings and the energies and the frequencies that are behind it. So how do you feed the center to the point that you can actually connect yourself and activate it with and have the perception you need, or extra perception you need to function in the world in a better, you know, in an optimum way? First of all, is let's say that there's one recommendation that the Dalai Lama gives, which is avoid passive evil. What is avoiding passive evil? One of the things that we got used to as a civilization nowadays is to accept violence in treachery, and murder, and certain things as absolutely natural, and when they're not. You can see that in Hollywood. Hollywood, if you have a movie that doesn't have a car chase, extreme sex scenes, and a couple of murders, it's boring. But this, why? Because we got desensitized. We're not sensitive anymore to those things, and we are used to passive evil. When you see on TV only things that, oh my God, you know, they really just want to keep you on the, you know, verge of fear, or verge of disillusion, that this world is really not a good world to live at all, that everything is bad, you know, but actually it's not. There are bad things happening out there. Yes, there is. There will always be. I don't know. Maybe not. There has been. Yes. Has been a lot of bad things. Humankind had a lot of bad things. But this is a beautiful world. And there are good things. Because there are good people. They're working out there to do good things. You know, their lives turn around. There are miracles everywhere. So when you reject something, like I'm refused to be a passive viewer of evil. I refuse just to see the ugliness on people. This is an exercise. I'm not saying that you create a bubble of a world of denial. They exist, but so what? I don't want to vibrate on that. When you start seeing that there are more than just evil in the world, you create an atmosphere that you will be able to see the little miracles, which is...
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
Okay, you know, I have a question about this because we have people within our community even, you know, I'm kind of an activist, and I'm a little bit outspoken. I try not to be too much, but there's this balance between, you know, I don't focus in, me personally, I can only speak for me, on, murder and rape and pillaging and all that, because there's lots of good, there's lots of bad. But at the same time, if there's things that I see that are wrong that I think that we have an opportunity to change and responsibility to, does that also go into, well, I'm focusing on negative, or is it negative?
No. I'm not saying that. What I said was refuse to see passive evil.
Okay,
and accept it as natural.
Okay.
Why bother if a whole bunch of kids got raped?
Gotcha.
Why
I misunderstood
bother?
Completely. I misunderstood. Okay, the world is so crappy. Why live here?
Yes. You know, the thing is, refuse to accept passive evil.
Okay, I'm going to shut up now. I understand. I misunderstood that. I don't know how. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. Keep going. Thank you.
No. I'm saying is we have to be aware that those things are so... made common and so, daily that we don't even bother to even be, saying, why bother to make a complaint against this? Why bother? You know, we lose part of our humanity when you do that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Hi.
Hello, darling.
I'm here.
I know. How are you?
I'm fine. I was going to ask about refusing to see the ugliness in people. Well, that I've been doing that for, I don't know. Well, I've been doing it. I don't know how long I've been doing it, but anyway. Because I know there is good things, good in people, so I always try to focus on the good part and bring it out. And I try to just focus on the good part.
It is important, because when you do that, you are sending a signal.
Yeah.
That is not, goes maybe not reaching the lower self, but reaches the higher, I would say, sheets of this person, saying, yeah, I know there's better than you there. You know, there's a better you inside there.
Mm-hmm.
There is something, you know.
And it really does work, because most people, I mean, if you focus on the good part, it comes, they act good to you. I don't know. It works.
You know, I'm not saying that's easy, though.
It really works.
I'm thinking about industry. I think, like you're talking, individual people, I love this. You have to.
Individually, I'm talking about, because
exactly.
That's all. I just do one-on-one. That's all I do.
That's what I was talking about earlier, though, is like when I want to change, like, something that's going on wrong in the industry, I have to focus on it, but at the same time, I'm going off a tangent here, but that's what I was talking about, Leonie, was like, you know, you can't focus on the gulf, on the negative, right? But we have to be aware that there have been toxins put into our environment, and I'm not real happy about that, right? And so
yes.
I want to make sure
these things don't
happen again.
I know, but you see, you are battling here something that is part of this world as a characteristic. We live in duality. So sometimes when you really hold, you know, and that's one of the things, when you step out, and this is a principle, you know, the most basic step, when you step out of your shell from your third lower chakra, and you start living in your heart and say, heart, from your heart, and you say, if things going to be different, I'm going to control myself. You're going to see all sorts of crap coming and all sorts of people coming out of the woodwork. Because there is an energy of inertia, and the energy of inertia is called ego. And it works with the law of gravity. They want you fixed on a point. You know, it's like that's part of the electromagnetic fields of Earth. The ego works just like the gravitational force. It wants you in that point. Once you said, I'm going to win the inertia of the ego and just think of immediate reality, and this is it, it is what it is, and I'm not going to change anything because, you know, why bother? When you step out of this shell and say, you know what? There is power in one voice. And I will, I don't care if I will be the voice inside of the desert. I will be that voice. If somebody else come along, great. If not, I will do this because it's part of my code.
It's like us giving one of these lectures at the beginning where we never know if anyone's out there.
Yeah, exactly. So you have that, you know, if when you step out of it, you will find that you're going to have a lot of problems in the initial stages because, oh boy, people will talk about you. They will. They will talk about you. It's like something happened. She changed.
It's all part of the inertia.
It's part of the inertia. To get rid of all the debris that accumulated around the inertia, I will use Christopher's always, you know, interesting analogy of the hose. You have a very, you know, rusty hose, and you have all the rust over it. When you start cleaning it, you know, you clean it, and you start making work, but you have to, you know, win the resistance of all that rust. and they will go and go, and maybe you open a little bit, but you say, if I keep going, you know, the influx of water will be better. But me, first, you're going to find resistance. Maybe it was clogged in the middle. Maybe there are some debris that needs to come out. People will talk about you. People will call you crazy. People will call you dreamer, will call you unrealistic, will call you, you know, not fit, because this is not reality. But what is reality? Reality is just what we see. If reality is something we cannot change, why bother? We can change, and we know we can. So those are the things that you have to ask yourself before you install your internal observer. You have to ask if you really think that you are just your thoughts or just your feelings or just your physical body. If you really realize that you're more than this, then you are absolutely on the point that you need to install your internal observer.
That's the first step, to recognize that you are more than your limitations.
Or what you know it said to you that you are.
Or I should say self-imposed limitations.
Yes. So this is basically what, you know, the internal observer is. And I don't know if you guys have more questions. Don't you love the creek?
That's fine, because we're here at the 1 hour mark for the conference, which is where we start running into the possibility of the conference being cut off. So from our service. So what I will do is I'll ask if there's one final question.
Speak now or be silent forever.
And if not, what we will do.
Okay, I'm hurrying.
All right.
Stop interrupting me. Okay, seriously. I think we need to get these our meditations in the podcasting form, because I need to hear this stuff. I want to go to sleep listening to this. And, you know, I've tried to record my voice, and you know I don't like my voice, but I'll do it if I have to. But it's just a thought. You know, if Kelly Ann can still do, or if she's willing to, I would love to have these things. You know what I'm talking about? The
meditation. Well, you're talking about the conference, it's called?
No.
You are one sick puppy.
I am. I know.
You are one sick puppy.
We can work on that sort of thing.
I'm just putting it on the wish list, okay? Because I could sit here and just like go to sleep and absorb this stuff, because I feel like it's already part of me. I'm just hearing it again.
Yes, I am.
We're just reminding what you remembered.
I'm all that.
All right.
So we'd like to thank everyone for joining us this evening. Bless your hearts, and we will be getting this posted up on the website within the next couple of days, and we will start progressing forward with more steps in the self-mastery program. And for everybody else that's coming, don't forget, tomorrow night we do have the teleconference for the next Stellar Code, and that's going to be pretty exciting.
Yay! All right, girls. Yay. You guys have a nice
thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much, and we will talk to you all soon. Take care.
Okay, bye.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.